Well, I have a message that the Lord laid on my heart for this morning. And you all there at Luke chapter 2? I guess I'll go there. Dear Heavenly Father, as I now share the word with your people, Father, I pray that everything that I share will encourage, will strengthen, will edify, will give insight to make us more wiser and more effective for the kingdom of God. And we thank you for this wonderful privilege of bringing Jesus into this world, this dying world, to give it life. And Father, I thank you for the abundance of it that reigns now on humanity, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Luke chapter 2, go to verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now we'll stop there, and most of you know the story about the coming of Jesus and the laying in of the manger and everything. My message today is we need to be firm on the fact that Jesus is the only way into the kingdom of heaven. There is no other way. And we'll get into that. But I have seen how the enemy has sown his seed in the mind of men to take mankind away from the fact that Jesus is not the only way to God. I heard a radio commentator one time say this: you can't be so little-minded to think there's only one way to God. And now he's since then gone to be on the other side. And he was a Jew. And he did not believe that Jesus was the only way to the kingdom of heaven. I like to think he knows better now. But I never thought much about it, about the brotherhood of man. I never seen it more emphasized on television than I ever had in years. And that is, we're to respect all faiths. If you guys know what I'm talking about. Matter of fact, I happened to notice on television, it shocked me that even Christian ministers were standing up and saying that we have to respect all faiths. And you know something? I'm just going to be real candid with you. I respect people, not their faith. I respect people, not their faith. But I do not believe attacking their belief system, their faith, is the answer to win them to Christ. You know, that's one of the things that Caiaphas, the high priest, when he ordered the death of Jesus, one of the arguments that he had was the fact that Jesus never really cared who was in government structure. He never really made Caesar his enemy. Matter of fact, Pilate even gave a testimony. He doesn't seem to be doing any harm even towards our government. So I don't see what's wrong with this guy. Matter of fact, I think he's reading you like you really are. And so what I'm trying to say is, We are not to respect all faiths because another faith is a move away from God. Did you know that even the Jewish faith rejects him even to this day? Matter of fact, in John chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, you can write them down. He said that you do not receive me as the one sent to you. See, he said that in the synagogue. And they wanted to put him out. Matter of fact, he made statements several times that I am the Christ. And they wanted to take up stones and kill him. You know something? The more I see the love of God, the more I see the grace of God at work for humanity, in spite of humanity rejecting him. You know something? There's a saying that if you were the only one, he would have went to the cross and died for you. How many of you heard that saying? If you were the only one, he would go to the cross and die for you. That is a lie. If no one would have accepted him, he still would have went to the cross and made a way for humanity. There was no guarantee. No guarantee that anyone would receive him. But the revelation that his Father had given him, that many would. And so he performed his duty out of the love of God, and by every word that proceeded from the Father to him, he performed it in great detail. And so we read here that he was the Savior of the world. And there are some scriptures that says that he was commissioned to the Jewish nation only. That's true. But you've got to also read the other books and other verses and stuff that says he was the Savior of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave. And yes, there is only one way to God. And that is only through Jesus. Now, there was a key figure in our life back in, I think, the 80s. Well, actually, back in the 60s, because at one time I really liked their music and I followed them at one time. But he wrote a song that whenever they talk about respecting the other faiths, on TV, what caught my ear was the music, the background to why they were speaking this. And they were talking about Muslims and you know, all that they're going through and, you know, because of the terrorists and everything. And in the background, when they were talking about honoring and respecting their faith, this song was playing. I don't know if any of you saw that on television, but the song was that was playing was called Imagine. And you know who John Lennon was, the one who wrote that song. And as they were playing that music in the background, I had Aaron Greco, my daughter's husband, look it up on his telephone. And I wanted the words to that song. And so he did that for me, and this is what it says. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed nor hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. You know that song? It don't fit here. You know where it fits? In heaven. Because that's what heaven's going to be like. That imagine that imagination, it's not possible here.
That's right.
Because the adversary entered into the kingdom of this world and planted a seed called sin nature in it. And everyone that's born off of the loins of Adam and Eve, of course, Eve is the mother of all living. We don't know how many women came into being before the men were accounted for. But we do know that out of those two spawned humanity. And so this song, it's not possible for it to even be written because God is the only one that can create this kind of atmosphere. And did you know that when Jesus came in the manger, God said something that was so tremendous. He said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Do you know that what that was? That was a confession of why God gave His Son in the earth so that mankind would have peace on earth and goodwill toward men through that little baby in that manger. He's the only one. But if you try to put that out of your mind and imagine there's no heaven, then you're not going to find the baby that's laying in the manger for peace and goodwill toward you. In that statement, this is what God was saying. Because I am giving my Son as a sacrifice for the world, you will now have peace with me and goodwill towards mankind. That was God's way of saying. And yet the church itself hasn't caught that revelation of how important it is to understand that He gave Jesus because He so loved the world. He gave Jesus because He so loved the world. And He says the reason they won't come to Him is because they love darkness rather than light. And so you're seeing more and more people trying to mix darkness with light and then call it love. Now, how do we reproach somebody that has another way of believing, another faith? Well, you know, years ago, and I've shared this with you in the past, that years ago, Teal Osborne was going to Africa, and he's having his big campaigns. As a matter of fact, when Sue and I first got married, we got his newspaper. Remember that big printed newspaper? And it showed about all his crusades, and he was trying to raise money for adequate things that he could hand out and play the gospel to him and everything. And he began to realize that in certain countries they would not allow him in. And so he went to the highest that he could go for that country. And they pulled him in. This one king pulled him in and said, the reason we don't want you here is because you deface our beliefs. And T.L. Osborne said, I've never done that. I've never defaced anybody's belief. And they said, well, others have come and they have spoken against our beliefs and our faiths. And he says, we don't want you here because you'll probably do the same thing. And T.L. Osborne said, listen, all I want to do is preach Jesus. I don't want to preach against your beliefs or your faiths. I don't want to do any of that. I just want to promote Jesus. And the king said, okay, if you just promote Jesus and not go against our beliefs, then we'll permit you to come in and preach Jesus. And T.L. Osborne said, I couldn't ask for a greater honor. But the king said, now, if you preach against our beliefs and our faiths, against our priests, he says, then you've got a problem. And so T.L. Osborne was permitted to speak in this one area. And there were six monks. I forgot what kind of religion they were. Six of them. And a lot of those foreign beliefs, religions, when people get attached to them, a lot of us stateside don't realize that a lot of them pick up spirits of infirmity. And so you'll find that a lot of them are deaf, sick, ill. no way of getting help. And these six monks, Muslims, decided to kill him. And of course, you know they were motivated by the devil. And so they got up in the front row on purpose, and they were sitting there. And over half of them were deaf. And so the Lord, when T.L. Osborne was preaching, the Lord revealed to him that these monks were there to kill him, and that he was to call them out and bring them up. And he said, "Teal, I want you to pray for all of them. Pray for them. I'm going to heal them." And Teal Osborne said, "Are you sure this is you, Lord?" You know, he was real hesitant on that, but he called them out. At the end of his message, he called them out, and they came up, and they thought this was the opportune time to stab him to death. But they didn't, because he said, "The Lord wants me to pray for you." And he went down with a word of knowledge and told them what was wrong with all of them. They were shocked. And so they started bickering among each other. "Did you tell him?" "No, I didn't tell him." And he says, "Well, let me pray for you." And they all agreed. They all got healed. Every one of them. And I don't know the outcome of the six monks, but they didn't kill him. But T.L. Osborne, when he campaigned all across Africa, he never went against any of their beliefs or their faiths. He didn't even talk about them. He went and presented Jesus. And he presented Jesus as a healer. Matter of fact, he has a book out on healing. And when I read some of the stories that took place, do you know that men's arms and legs grew out of their bodies? In a lot of his campaigns, and the power of God moves through the crowd. And he never did anything to discredit what they believed. He just wanted to amplify and prove the love of God. And that's why he was so successful. And then afterwards, others began to follow him, but T.L. Osborne had the most long-standing and most respected evangelist of his day. And he could go into places that people would not allow other ministers to go, because God had really anointed him how to reach people in spite of what they believe. Do you know that one thing that God impressed upon me so strongly about Jesus? You know, John and I, we've been working on this, getting out on the internet and getting our messages out there. And I'm working on it, people. I'm working on it. But God told me, he says, "Jan, if you really want to promote me, don't come against the other face. Stay away from them. You just give the truth. You speak what my Bible says, and let me work in their hearts. You can't. You know, let me speak to them. But stay away from criticizing them for what they believe." Matter of fact, just recently he told me, make sure that you're careful when you say other ministers. He says, because there's enough people disrespecting my ministers as it is. And he says, try to eliminate that from your vocabulary. And I said, "Well, I'm working on that one, people." but the point I'm trying to get across is Jesus is the only way. The Bible is very clear. But not everybody believes in the Bible. Do you know that? Not everybody believes that this is the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing that we can do, and that's make ourselves available to put a person in a position to receive the only Redeemer, and the Bible and everything else will take care of itself. You see, you've got to personally experience God in your life before you receive Him as a Savior. The Lord wants to amplify love. And part of that is the power of God in our obedience. You know, we can become fat cats on the Word of God. But if you don't reach the one you're in your little world with a witness that Jesus is the one, then you're going to fail to reap a harvest. Do you know that the shepherds never conceived a little lamb? Did you guys know that? I never read where the shepherds finally had a little lamb on the countryside. And it liked to kill the guy. No, his sheep produce the lambs. When you have a church and you have the Word of God, there should be an excitement on the inside of you that can go out and reach somebody else that has need. I'm going to tell you what. When Jesus said the harvest is truly whited, it's ready to be plucked, it means the world is so bad, they're ready for Jesus. And you can be that person to lead them to the Lord. Too many of us get into our little world and we allow that little world of ours to overwhelm us rather than preparing ourselves on a daily basis to be a witness for the one we love. We should be ready to be a witness for the one we love. I know it works. But you know, as we were singing this song and about Him being our everything and our all in all, you know, this word kept coming through me. And I just couldn't get away from it. It was like the Lord was saying, what do they need for me to back them when they go to minister to somebody else? The whole kingdom of heaven is behind us when we minister to somebody. And sometimes you can't read people's heart. You don't know where they're at in their heart. But I'll tell you what, if you have a desire to win a soul, God will supernaturally give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. You know? Now, I've heard people say, I've seen somebody in the aisles and they were on a cane and crutch and I felt led to go pray for them. That's not a good thing to do. But if God speaks to you, gives you a leading, to pray for somebody that has an ailment, you better make sure it's God leading you and not yourself. You know, a lot of times we lead ourselves into something we have no business leading ourselves into, and they look at us as being strange. But if God is truly behind a person being led to minister to somebody that needs salvation, then that's a different story. I've had them happen to me on several different occasions in my life where I've had God speak to me and the spare of the moment caught me off guard. But I was in a place of prayer. I was in fellowship with my Lord. I wasn't cold towards Him. I was on fire for the Lord. And there's just something about drawing close to Him that He draws close to you. And you're more apt to make less mistakes that way than being distant from Him and then trying to minister out of a life that He doesn't have a preeminence in your life. Am I making sense what I'm sharing with you? And you know, we're living in a time when the term Antichrist is very obvious. The Bible even prophesied about this spirit coming. And He said it's already here before the person that is Antichrist comes. If you will, let's think just a little bit before we quit the service. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. And let's read some scriptures about how important it is that Jesus be understood as the only way into the kingdom of God. And again, I want to remind you, how do you respect a faith? You don't respect the faith that they believe in. You respect the person that has a belief in their faith. But you do not break down and criticize another person's faith. You promote your faith in the form of Jesus. At 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 12. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're dealing with somebody else who has another faith, then it's obvious he does not have the Son. And if he doesn't have the Son, he doesn't have life. And you're not going to win him to life by criticizing what he believes. You're going to take the opportunity of the life that you have to share it with him. You see. So, I read you this verse to give you the understanding that if you want to win a person who believes in another faith, the way that you have to think of this is how you have to approach it. If he doesn't have Jesus as his Savior, then he has no life. He's without Christ. Okay, now, John is the only one that uses the term Antichrist. Antichrist. So, with that thought in mind, let's go to chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, notice what he says at verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth. You people, you know the truth. But because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He who is a liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now, the reason I brought this up to you is notice what he says. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Now, let me ask you something. A lot of these faiths, do they believe in God? Absolutely. Do you know what? I begin to realize many of them believe in the same God I do. But they don't believe in Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? I have. They do not believe in Jesus. They believe in another person as a mediator between them and the God. Muhammad, Buddha, you know, whatever image they have come up with. But if you do not have the Son, you do not have the Father. The Jews today do not have the Son. They don't have the Father either. And they think they do. Is this making sense to you, what I'm saying? So what does that make them? That makes them the term that John uses, the term Antichrist. It didn't say anti-God. It said Antichrist. That is the spirit that is at work today in many, many faiths. And that is the spirit of Antichrist. Boy, when God revealed that to me, it hadn't been all that long ago, 5 or 6, 7 years ago. I was wondering why they'd bring up the term Antichrist. That means, the word anti means that which is against Christ. And so here you have a Muslim who believes in God, but he doesn't believe in Christ. So that is the spirit of Antichrist. John's the only one that uses that term. Did you know that the spirit of Antichrist actually came upon the time period when Jesus left this world? Did you guys know that? He says that when I go, he will come. When I saw that in the Greek, I was shocked. Well, Satan's been here from day one. He was talking about a new operation of the government structure of Satan coming into the earth after Jesus' witness and testimony left, so that now he could undermine everything that Jesus represented. Matter of fact, over in Genesis there, it talks about you will crush his head, but he'll bruise your heel. The bruising of the heel represented something where a person walked. And the crushing of the head symbolizes the authority removed. So what Jesus did when he came, he ruined the authority of the kingdom of darkness so that humanity could come to God. He removed his ability to have authority over man. And in the meantime, Jesus' heel was bruised, meaning everywhere he walked, there's where Satan attacked the validity of him. Even Hollywood's doing it today. And so it's to undermine the minds of men to find the true Christ, the true Messiah. Matter of fact, Antichrist spirit means that which is against Christ, period. And so us going to the world and saying, if you have another faith other than Jesus, then you're a heathen, you're not saved. You ain't going to win no hearts that way. Are you following me? But the reason I give you this message this morning is because I want you to realize we need to stand firm on our commitment that He is the only way. And we need a heart. We need a heart that says, I want to see souls saved. You know, a lot of times we as a church, we get so head knowledge that we forget heart knowledge. Heart knowledge desires to see people saved. You know, I don't know where you work. You might work for a lawyer. We need Christians in the lawyer's offices bad. And you might run across somebody there that's miserable and unhappy and going through something. And you don't have to run up and say, hey, I know Jesus and I know what He can do for you and all that. But you can go up and you can start offering the love of God through your heart. And say, is there anything I can do? And just slip something in there. Catch their attention. Well, you don't understand. I'm a Muslim. Oh, that doesn't mean anything. Jesus will, you know, if I pray for you, Jesus will still help you. You know, Jesus ain't going to sit there and say, nah, they're Muslim. Forget it. You know, there's going to come a time when all faiths will be reckoned. A lot of people don't. You know, we got this idea so strongly in our thinking that, boy, when Jesus comes from the church, boy, when He takes us out of here, planes will fall out of the sky, cars will crash into. That's Hollywood. When He removes the church, He's going to give us a warning. He says so right there in Thessalonians. He says that day won't overtake you as a thief in the night. Because you're of the light, you're of the day, not the night. And so somehow He's going to warn us supernaturally when He comes for the church. And guess what the world's going to have to face with? They're going to not only have to, the world is not concerned about us being blessed because we're raptured out of here. No. There's a reason for the catching away of the church. There's a reason for it. You know why? Because God is love. And everything He does and purposes is through love. You know why He's going to come take church? Because He wants to reward us for our faithfulness to Him. Yes. Not because what we did for Him, but because we loved Him in spite of anything else. So that blessing is given to us. But His major purpose of taking the church out is to exalt the present day ministry of Christ, that He is the only way. Now the world has to deal with their concept of their faith. I know if I didn't believe in Jesus, but I believed in something else, and yet everyone that left planet Earth was connected to Jesus, that would give me something to think about. Matter of fact, it says just on that one act alone, the greatest revival will hit the earth and myriads will come in that you can't even number. Right. Oops, I believed in the wrong thing. Yep. You know, Aunt Freddie and Aunt Lucy, yeah, they believed in this Jesus thing and they're gone and we're here. You know, they're going to have to deal with that mindset. So when God takes a church out, it's not because, He's got now a hate for the world and he wants to destroy it. He does it with a purpose, and the purpose has always been to reap more souls. And so with all these judgments and everything that takes place through the book of Revelation, you'll always find almost in the same chapter, and more came in and more repented. We get so self-centered, we don't realize, hey, you might be thinking about yourself, but God is thinking of the world. And why do you think the world has such an open door of grace now that God didn't even say, I'm going to tell you where the door is going to close. He even left the door open. And if he didn't have this time period of grace, there would be nobody in heaven. Do you know that? Because if you sit there and live for this world, you ain't going to have a desire for the kingdom of God. And so God had to open up an area of grace. He had to pour his judgment out on you through Jesus. Glory to God. 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 Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is your life. He is my life. He's the life of my children. He's the life of my grandchildren. He's the life of my church. He's the life of my friends. He's Jesus, the only way. Narrow is the way. Broad is the way to destruction. Hallelujah. But I don't have to preach against their destruction. I just need to preach the narrow way. Glory to God. And they'll come in. They'll come in. They'll come in. They'll come in. But the only hope that you and I have is the Word of God. That is our hope. That is our hope. If we fall short of what is in the Word, we're cheating people. We're not giving them life. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Oh, wait. I want to take them one other place. Sit down for one more second. Can you do that? See, you know these knees when they get to... Get them up, move them. Turn over to John chapter 10. Just take a second. In John chapter 10, verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, will you jump forward to verse 7? Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door to the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And that word for life there is Zoe, the life of God on the inside of us. Woo! I have Zoe. I have Zoe. What is Zoe? Zoe is the life of God in me. I've been born from above. I have been injected by His nature, which is love. Well, Father, with every head bowed, every eye closed in respect for those that have to answer the call of the altar here this morning. If there's anybody here that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life or Savior, then we have the opportunity to pray with you and let God call you into His kingdom and use you in a wonderful way. So if you've never said the sinner's prayer and you want to come into the kingdom, we're going to offer you the opportunity to do it right here and now. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking another tongue, you've been feeling dry lately, then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you. We'd be glad to pray with you. If you've been out of fellowship with the Lord and want to get back into that place of closeness to Him, where you're more aware of His presence than ever before, we would love to pray with you. If you're wrestling with a sickness or a disease, He's redeemed you from that. So with those things mentioned, feel free to come up here right now. Anybody? Feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, as we now dismiss these wonderful people, may they have a victorious day. May they be blessed. And may we move into a greater realm of your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.